Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He judges righteously. He knows the best way to do all things. He watches over his people. And he knows how to guide us into all truth. The Lord will lead, David said in Psalm 23, he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Now he's on our side, helping us out so that we can fulfill his perfect will, so that we can be all that we can be, so that we can avoid the traps and conditions that the world throw against us. Now I've heard all kind of teaching in churches, and sometimes people teach according to what they think, and it's not scripturally factual. And I don't know how many messages I've heard where people taught that it's all right to have problems. God use them to make you grow up. And Satan's throwing darts against us all the time, and not God. Everything that comes down the spiritual pike is not of God. Some things are an attack, and you have to address it as an attack. If you don't address an attack as an attack, and you think it's God's will, the enemy will camp against you in that area until it becomes a great weakness, a stronghold, a problem that you can't recover from. And many Christians, though they're plagued with these same old traps that the enemy have used against them for years, they love God so much and they still preach the gospel and they still help people out and get people healed from time to time. But they're not living according to the scriptures, so they're partially living by faith and not full faith. But a healthy study of the Word of God will help us live by faith and conquer in every aspect of life. Some people only master one or two aspects of life, or three or four, maybe even five. But if the enemy sets up a stronghold somewhere, and you're not casting down imaginations, for instance, or you're not destroying his attacks, they'll become strongholds against you, against the way you think, against the way you conduct yourself, against the way you behave, against the way you minister. And some people are still preaching untrue doctrine. There were thoughts that went unchecked. There were attacks that they didn't conquer. And the enemy, it doesn't get filtered out when they minister God's word. And then they read it into the Word of God. All these things happen. And the only way out is a healthy study of the Word of God. To live a full, healthy life, you have to receive God's word in every category. It's easier that way. When people have a made-up mind, and it's a fact that's truly against the Word of God. Now remember, all lies and all temptations, it look good from a certain point of view. It can be dressed up to look just like the Word of God, unless you have the Word of God in you. If you have the knowledge of the truth in you, not just know of it, but have it in you, you'll know that there's something wrong when there's something wrong. But if the Word of God, if it's not in you, even if you know of that part of God's Word, but if it's not in you, and I want to explain a little more what I mean by that. See, when the Word is in you, it gets in your habit system, and it's a light that you can expose the darkness, all forms of darkness by. See, knowledge of the Word of God sets you free. And the only way you'll know it has to be in you. And people know fractions of the Word of God. There are some parts of God's Word they receive and it's in them. But you can take the same scripture and there's more light in the scriptures than people have received. You can take one scripture and people can receive light from it. But that same scripture also gives more light than people may notice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, we understand that God wants us to have everlasting life. Now you can, by that scripture, that scripture is portraying more than what you may see on the surface. He did this. He so loved the world. The world was the world. The world was not Christians yet. But God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if you give your only begotten Son to a cause, to a people, you love those people because you love your Son, especially God. And God loves his children more than men love theirs. And then for everybody, whosoever, for every soul, and some of them are just wicked. Some people you'd be angry with and you just want to see them go to jail or be taken off the earth. They're so bad. But God gave Jesus for us all. Them too. So that suggests that we should treat people like God would treat people. That suggests that we should represent Jesus to all men so that they can benefit from what Jesus has already done. God has a made-up mind about it because he gave his only begotten Son. He's not double-minded about redemption. He's not double-minded against redemption. See, all these facts come from that one scripture, and it's easy to look over what the scriptures are saying. So when you receive God's word and you meditate on it, you begin to see more facts and you have more light, and it can conduct the way, it can help you in the way you conduct yourself with other people. And if a person don't perish and have everlasting life, if they're going to have everlasting life with God, they're going to be holy. They're going to be righteous. They're going to want the right thing. They will have the love of God in them, and the love of God is the only way to fulfill the law. They won't be lawbreakers. The law was given for the lawless. It was necessary to give the lawless the law because they don't feel like it's anything wrong with that, with what they're doing. Some people think it's okay if I kill somebody to get what I want. They think it's wisdom. In their wicked mind, they think it's wisdom. They think people are foolish for not taking what other people don't work for. They think it's wisdom. They think it's foolish to go out there and work in the sun and get your own things the honest way. They think the honest way is for foolish people, and that's how they that's what they teach their people. And from their point of view, that's what seems good to them. And they look at God as an enemy, and anybody that loves God, until they figure out it don't work. It's important to know that what God put in motion is in motion for a purpose. A healthy life comes from receiving God's word. There's always something that people have embraced. Now, most people won't embrace what the things I just described, but they will embrace being lazy. They will embrace talking about others, not hurting anybody else, but talking about them and pointing out their faults and gossiping. In their mind, it's okay. And the same people, as long as somebody aggravate them, and as long as people that they like are aggravated with the people that they're aggravated at, They feel like it's okay with God if they talk about him negatively. And that's far from the truth. You can get in deep trouble talking about people, because that's not love. Strife, slander, is a breaking of the law. It's not right. And where I work, we joke a lot. We carry on, but we love each other. And I love everybody that I pick at. I have a good time. They have a good time. But it's about fun. It's not about hurting anybody's feelings or make them feel low class. Everybody's made in God's image, and God has put a portion of himself in them. He so loved the whole world, all the people, that he gave his only begotten son. So if I can think in that light long enough, I'm going to respond differently. I won't respond negatively on purpose. And even if you get upset, sometimes people get upset and in one moment they say something because they're upset. But that's not an excuse either, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so people could live. That he that believed will not perish but have everlasting life. My goal for everybody ultimately is that they believe on Jesus and love God. So if that's my goal, I desire to see everybody love God and be saved and trust him by faith. That's the only way they can live forever. So I don't want to do something that will cause them to despise me so that God can't use me to help them. So I consider those things before I make my jokes. I consider those things with my reply. I really want that person to be my brother or sister. I don't want them to be cast aside. So the more light we receive, the more healthy we can become. And the more we love God, the more we'll love his people. And the more patient we'll be with people. Why should we be patient to somebody that's aggravated? And get people that get on our nerves, people that won't do right for nothing. Because God loves them. And we might be able to help them see God. Now, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. We don't just act right so people to get saved. This is the way of life, a true way of life. I'm going to be good to you no matter what, because that's the love of God in me. The love of God wants to do something. It wants to do something good. So if I have the love of God in me, I want to express it. I want to share it. I want to be a blessing, not a curse. So if I love you, I'm going to be consistent with it. I will be patient with you. I will be patient with those who are actually mean. People who slander me, I'll be patient and I'll pray for them and I'll love them anyway. Now, you receive joy from God when you're obeying him. So if I live in obedience to God, I can receive as much joy as I want. I can receive as much peace as I want. I can receive as much life as I want. And I want a lot. I want it all. So it's possible to desire God's perfect will and not do God's perfect will. It is very possible, because it's not always easy when you lack knowledge of things. You can lack knowledge of a few things. It'll be very difficult to live in God's perfect will and love like he loves and do what he does and believe like you should. So to aid me in that, I speak. See, you got a voice. Your voice is how you access the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm. What you say on earth is said in heaven. What you speak on earth is spoken in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth or allow is loosed or allowed in heaven. So, now this is what happens. Angels hear those words. The Holy Spirit hear those words. And see, you can reset your will. You can reset your will to do God's will by speaking. So one of my favorite confessions is, which I learned from Charles Capp, bless his heart, I love him. I love him. I love what he did. He did his job. And I learned from him and others about confessing the word of God. I'll speak with my mouth in faith that I will do all that's in God's heart. Now, what am I doing? I'm setting my future according to do God's will. I'm speaking it. See, our prayers avail much. I pray it, I speak it, I confess it, so that when the time comes, the courage in me will rise up so I can be faithful to those confessions. It becomes, a confession can become your resolve, your intention. A resolve is your full intention. You are fully set to do this. You are resolved. There's no way you'll change your mind. So when I set my heart that way, when I study the word, I pick up other cues from the word, and I can walk in greater light. Because the very same scriptures we used to read a long time ago, there's light that we didn't see when we read it. But when you confess the word and you read the same scriptures you've always read, they will minister to you in a greater way. Why? Because you're reaching forth to learn. You can confess that you love your wife. That's contrary. You can confess that you love your contrary husband. And then it helps you to be extra patient when they need you to be. Some people are not going to do right. They're not going to do things favorably. Now, not that they're doing something against you or wrong, but some things people are just not going to live favorably to you. They're not going to do what you want them to do or what you wish they'd do. But the love of God transcends all that. By the love of God, you can love them anyway. And you can cherish them anyway. And even though they're not doing what you wish they would, you can enjoy their character, their personality anyway. Because you're receiving strength from the Lord. You're receiving life, the life of God in you. And it will nourish your heart, strengthen you. So even though they're doing things you wish they wouldn't do, or not doing what you wish they would do, you're still at peace because God is supplying you with life. And you can enjoy life. And they might get on board, and you can enjoy them in a greater way, and they might not, but you still got life. You can still supply them in life. You can still sow good seeds in their life. You can find ways to do things you know they'd like. See, all of this is important. And I'm learning some of these things. I'm just learning some of these things I've learned and I've mastered. Some things I'm learning, and I'm preaching it, and I'm learning it at the same time. And I'm thanking God that I'm going to live a greater life. God loves us. By our love, we can do great things, good things, fantastic things, amazing things. Because the love of God is true to us. A healthy life relays the love of God. It's fully supplied to fully give. I'm going to say that again. The love of God, the life of the love of God, it fully supplies. You know, God supplies us with love so we can fully give. Some people are spent. They're so beat down by life, they have nothing left to give. They have no strength to love others. They're barely making it. Even Christians. Some Christians are so weak, they're so disappointed all the time. They just can't. They don't have anything left. But God loves them. So when you treat them with, when you respond in love, it helps. It's a blessing. The healthy life you live can make the difference. The healthy life you live can help, can give people hope. And they'll change their mind against suicide. They'll change their mind against divorce. They'll change their mind against quitting. And they'll change their mind against failing. And they'll start looking to the Lord. They'll start understanding. And they'll rise up like they're supposed to, like we're designed to do. And once you get on board with God, once you receive His word, once you hear Him out, once His word strengthens your heart, you're fully supplied, and you can fully supply others. You can be what they need you to be. You can be the strength they need you to have. You can be the patience they need you to have for them. Well, why would I do that for somebody that made me mad? Because God so loved the world, the contrary, backbiting, murderous, evil, lustful, greedy world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe will never perish and have everlasting life. And remember, every Christian there is, every wonderful Martin Luther Christian, Apostle Paul Christian, Peter Christian, there were sinners that did wrong before they did right. People will respond to your love, just like we all responded to God's love. Considering all these things, take a closer look at the scriptures. Feed on them. Let it be a part of you. Confess that you see what you normally don't see. Confess in your heart that you learn what God is trying to give you. Be a student. Be a genuine student of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to show you. Now, when people are upset, I told my son this. Never focus on the problem. Don't focus on what you don't know. It's frustrating. And the enemy wants you to look at it. Because when you focus on a problem, it grows. It gets huge. And see, the problems can seem like it's closer to you than God is. And you can give your greatest attention to the problem and stop looking at God. The problem will be too big and God will look too small to you. And you'll feel isolated and all alone and He's not going to help you. That's a lie. He loves you. See, when you put yourself in a position to receive God's knowledge, you know, when you're serious about it, it's my best advice to, when you ask the Lord a question, follow through. Be like Daniel. Don't give up. My pastor was talking about that yesterday. Don't give up. He said, Daniel got his answer in 21 days. And pastor said, what if he persevered for 7 days and quit? Or 10 days, or just 20 days. And then he just called it off. He just gave up. It's always best to be serious about being a student of the Lord. It will help you. It will bless you. You will be so wonderfully appreciative of what God has done. See, when people think they know something, they don't ask questions. It's a blessing to determine to be a student. When people are convinced about something or they think they're right about something, they just don't ask questions about it. And the Lord taught me this. He said, when I asked Him, I said, Lord, you knew that I needed to know this particular information a long time ago. He told me something about business after I dedicated myself to learn what I needed to know. And when He answered me, He told me. And I said, but Lord, you knew I needed to know this a long time ago. And how come you didn't tell me ahead of time? He said, when a man leans to his own understanding, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. I'm going to say that again. And it changed everything. It made me become a greater student. When a man leans to his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. Now, this is why. When you're convinced about something, and people get convinced about what they're taught in church, people get convinced about what they believe, people get convinced about what their parents do. In their mind, there's no reason to ask God about what I already know. Now, I'm going to point something out. You may know something and it may be perfectly true, but I found it to be wisdom to ask God anyway. And this is why. Sometimes he'll show you how good it is and more about it. And sometimes the what you had selected to do may have worked, but he may show you a greater way to do the same thing. In other words, be a student. Always ask. Be receptive to what the word is saying. Be receptive for more light to come to you. More light from the very same scriptures you've already been blessed by for years. When you follow God, he shows you more about the very same scriptures that you've already received. When you take time, that's what happened when I studied chapters instead of verses. I used to study, pick out my little verses that would get me out of my ditch. But when I started reading chapters, it was harder for me to get in a ditch. And sometimes I saw the same scriptures in a greater way and received more light from the very same scriptures that have always blessed me from the time I first got saved and from the time I first began operating in them. So always, my friend, ask the Lord. He's going to help you. The more light you receive in your heart, the better you'll be able to govern your life. God loves us. And he has so many wonderful things to say. And he makes things plain. You become reasonable to God. Sometimes people are not reasonable when it comes to God. God try to show them something and they tell him why it won't work. That's not humbleness of heart and mind. You'll never get anywhere not being a student. You can't be a student if you don't learn. You have to determine to learn from God in order to learn from God or anybody. Acting weak is not being humble either. Acting weak is what it is, an act. It just soothes the soul. It soothes the unrenewed mind. But it has nothing to do with the life of God. But the life of God is available. And God is close to you. He's in you by the Holy Spirit. And he's upon you by the Holy Spirit. See, we receive the Holy Spirit within, in our spirit, and upon for work. He's wells of living water springing up in the everlasting life. Out of our belly will come wells of water springing up in the everlasting life. That's the Holy Spirit within. And then he's mighty upon us for service, the anointing to help others. Within and upon. So now, see, before the Holy Spirit came upon them, he was within them because Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. Could you imagine Jesus breathing on them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and they don't receive it? They received it. And so does everybody else who believe on Jesus. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. Everyone. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now we're baptized in him. He's upon us. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, we yield to the Holy Spirit, he is upon us. A lot of preachers, before they preach, they fortify themselves by praying in the Holy Spirit. And they're yielding to the Holy Spirit. And the more they yield, the more powerful they are in ministry. But sometimes people hold back from God. They lean to what they know already, the light that they've already received. And they won't receive any new light, any greater light. It's all light. It's all from the heart of God. It's just more of it. And when the process is not happening where you can receive more light, then you're going to govern your life with the light you already have. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. To live a healthy life, receive Him continually. And you're going to see what the old preacher's saying. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.